Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
WBEZ is supported by Chicago Humanities, presenting live events with historians Doris Kearns Goodwin and John Meacham, comedian Reggie Watts and filmmaker Miranda July, and artists Hebrew Brantley and Amanda Williams in conversation. Plus, MSNBC chief correspondent Ali Velshi on small yet powerful acts of courage throughout history. Tickets for these events and more conversations on arts, culture, and current affairs at chicagohumanities.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Employees of Foxtrot and Dom's Kitchen and Market are still reeling from sudden news that they're out of a job. Without warning, they found out that the doors would close for good, effective immediately. Just 5 months ago, the two brands combined forces to create a parent company, Outfox Hospitality. But now, they're planning on filing for bankruptcy. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Connie A. Lane, a Minneapolis managing partner at Barnes & Thornburg LLP, on the legal situation the business could be facing. But first, I sat down with Ashok Selvam, editor at Eater Chicago, for more on the reaction from customers to the sudden move. Here's Ashok.
It was the day before. I was at Dom's Market just doing my regular shopping, but I noticed my spider sense was tingling that there was the seafood section was empty, just ice, and the produce was the cucumbers, they weren't very good. It was kind of malpractice to sell this, and I knew something was up. So began to make my calls, and everyone at Foxtrot and Dom's, at least on the corporate level, they were bracing for a shutdown. And the goal was to shut old locations in Texas, Illinois, and the D.C. area, to shut them down by noon yesterday. Mm. And so they didn't really disseminate this to the cashiers, the baristas that worked at these locations.
The employees didn't know.
They didn't know. They were, there were some rumblings, managers being on calls, corporate workers. They got a conference call on yesterday morning. So they were kind of being briefed a little bit. There was mentions of bankruptcy, but there was just immediate shutdown. No one was getting severance, and there was no plan. Mm. There was no plan what to do with the food. Yesterday at Dom's, they have two locations in Old Town and in Lincoln Park. Customers were being told to leave the store. There was no organization, and you saw the photos of just equipment just being taken out. It was a really confusing time.
Goodness. Sounds chaotic. Customers flooded X, formerly known as Twitter, immediately. Some sharing photos of the storefront, including one with one storefront that had a piece of paper that was just taped to the front door, Ashok, and it said, "Foxtrot closed forever," and in brackets, "not a joke, $180 million in the hole." Sad face. Is that accurate? You mentioned bankruptcy there. I mean, is the company that far in debt?
We haven't seen the financials, but this is new. Yesterday, corporate workers were given notice of that they're around 11 p.m. yesterday, which is a little too late to comply with the federal WARN laws. But they were told that their jobs were being terminated. And this, of course, came after the conference call. So within that email that I read, it said that Foxtrot was actively trying to shop itself and sell its the company, Outfox Hospitality. They combined 5 or 6 months ago with Dom's Food and Market and Kitchen and Market, and there was supposed to be this kind of sense of stability, which just never happened. So they struggled, and because of this, they decided to shut down. Now, we haven't seen bankruptcy filings yet, so it's a mystery. Something does not add up, but I think the easiest thing to kind of figure out is Foxtrot was a delivery-only app that relied on alcohol delivery for the first kind of phase of its business.
Yeah.
And during the pandemic, which we're still in, but the early parts of the pandemic, everyone was boozing at home and relying on liquor delivery because of the pandemic protocols of closing bars and, wearing masks in supermarkets. It was really touch and go, so delivery was really lucrative at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of bubble has burst.
Well, I want to dig more into what some folks had to say on X. Block Club Chicago reporter Quinn Myers posted from outside the Division Street Foxtrot in Wicker Park. I posted a photo and he said, quote, people are freaking out about the chain's closure. One woman just told me she moved to the neighborhood because Foxtrot was here. Now, in response to that tweet, Tiffany Walden from the Tribe publication wrote, there are neighborhoods on the south and west sides that don't have fresh food or grocery stores within miles of their homes. Despite Foxtrot closing, there is still ample access to grocery stores in these communities. And user at Thrill House also took to Twitter. They wrote, everyone's making fun of Foxtrot, but I appreciate that they were transparent, open late, and often busy day and night. They were good corner stores that are now going to sit vacant or get replaced by a Starbucks pickup or Circle K. Your thoughts, Ashok, on just that range of public reactions? I'll be honest, I saw nothing but outrage and sadness on Facebook.
That's a lot to process. It's funny, I was at that Division Street location yesterday morning, and it was very calm. The only thing that I saw that was kind of different was the workers. They weren't allowed to talk about whatever. They were super confused, and one manager was kind of short, and I could understand because you're about to lose your job possibility, right. And you don't really want to talk to a reporter or editor. That's fine. So I think there was a little bit of an embellishment generally toward the atmosphere, like, oh, we're losing these stores. What do they mean? And kind of that response, like, I moved to a location, just a neighborhood, just for a Foxtrot. Again, when delivery exists in 2024, I'm just kind of rolling my eyes.
Yeah.
Tiffany Walden's tweet was just kind of hit it right on the bullseye. You look at all the locations that Foxtrot, they were all Northside locations except for the Willis Tower one, which is that technically on the south side, you make the judge, but there was no investments in other communities. And again, 2024, when you can get practically anything delivered, are we going to mourn? Yes, I feel terrible for the rank and file workers, but what value is actually being delivered? And that's no pun. I kind of scratch my head, and it's a lot more dire circumstances in other parts of the town.
Yeah. As you mentioned, we haven't seen bankruptcy filings yet. I mean, this after the rumors, of, at least, that the parent company would be filing for Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Substack newsletter called Snackshot reported that. But as of today, nothing yet, right? What do you think that tells us, Ashok?
I think that it's just a mess. They didn't know what they were doing. Obviously, they knew because they weren't making purchase orders on Friday last week. So there was some, like, they were kind of knew when they were going to pull the plug, but maybe they didn't know what was going to come next. Yesterday, like I said, that, workers were sent around 11 p.m. last night, warn notices, and it just seems like no one really thought this out.
Such a late notice.
Yeah, it is. The most fervor I'm seeing is my friends in the hospitality business are calling me and said it is a feeding frenzy for the vacancies for the real estate. Mm. And I'm not sure that we're going to see like the corporate entities, Starbucks, Circle K, like that tweet alluded to, but perhaps this is an opportunity for a chef that doesn't have a lot of experience and can broker a deal with a landlord, and could see some good from that.
We're going to be joined now by Connie A. Lane, who's a Minneapolis managing partner at Barnes & Thornburg LLP. Welcome to the show, Connie.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Sasha.
You too. So we were talking there, you were listening along, Connie, just about bankruptcy. Now, if this does get filed, rumors are it would be Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Can you just, so we're all on the same page, help us understand what that means and how it's different from other types of chapter filings like 13 or 11?
Yes, absolutely. So a Chapter 7 is a liquidation. It is purely liquidating the assets of the company. Usually when you see a company like this file, it's a Chapter 11, which is a reorganization, which means they're going to sell some assets. They might sell the name. They might sell the locations. And a Chapter 13 is just an individual reorganization. It is surprising to see a company of this size just close its doors and say we're gonna just liquidate in a Chapter 7 without actually filing at the same time.
Federal law mandates that companies with more than 75 employees are mandated to inform the employees within a 60-day notice of their decision to close. What purpose does that serve?
Well, it gives employees an opportunity to find a different job. It gives employees an opportunity to prepare for what is happening, be it budgeting or looking for new skills. And it also prevents the drama that you were talking about just moments ago about what happened yesterday.
So what happens then when employers don't publish notices to this page in a timely manner?
Well, when notices are not timely given, it results in liability for the employers. The employers just aren't able to walk away when they haven't given appropriate notice. They're still liable to these employees, as you've seen in other litigation.
Speaking of other litigation, I mean, former employees, recent example here at the Signature Room, right? They recently won a $1.5 million settlement against their former employer. It was also for suddenly closing doors without publishing a WARN notice. I mean, do you think that Outfox hospitality workers could see a similar outcome?
I think they could pursue a similar remedy unless a bankruptcy is filed. If a bankruptcy case is filed, then any litigation that they would be involved in would be stayed during that bankruptcy case.
And how could impending bankruptcy procedures impact what money, if any, these former Outfox hospitality employees might get out of this?
Well, so it will depend on the amount of money available in the estate from the liquidation and the bankruptcy estate. But without adequate WARN notices being given, employees will have a priority claim over other unsecured claims in the bankruptcy case, meaning over certain trade claims or over certain vendor claims. Employees will be given a priority status if they have a WARN claim.
I see. So could we, it sounds like there wouldn't be a situation where employees don't get paid at the end of the day.
Well, there could be a situation where employees don't get paid if there is absolutely no money. No money results from the liquidation of these assets.
I see.
So there is a risk.
There is a risk. Connie A. Lane is a Minneapolis managing partner at Barnes & Thornburg LLP. Thank you so much for checking in.
Thank you.
So Ashok, I mean, you heard that legal breakdown here first. I mean, your reaction?
Well, the one thing to kind of understand the difference between the Signature Room and Outfox Hospitality is Signature Room is a unionized workplace.
Oh, there's that too.
Yeah, so that, you know, the chances for a lawsuit to actually be successful and have the organization of, you know, being able to reach all the workers is a lot more successful when your workplace is unionized.
Yeah. What are you going to look out next for Outfox Hospitality?
It's strange. So a couple months ago, we had some Outfox reps from New York that were coming in, and they had a lot of high expectations of opening in the New York market, and they just were, like, just very optimistic. They, it seemed like, you know, the sky was the limit. I am looking forward to seeing what is going to replace them in terms of the real estate. We're not going to see like a company come in, you know, like I saw a tweet by Lee Giangreco, reporter for Cranes, talking about Wegmans, the Central New York, Rochester, New York.
I did happen to retweet Lee because I'm a Wegmans fan.
I'm a big Wegmans fan, going to school at Syracuse, you know, at midnight's food runs. You're not going to see that because, you need scale for that. And plus, we're going to wonder what's going to happen with Jewel and Mariano's right now. But perhaps we'll see a rise of independent business that can take advantage of those leases and, again, broker out a deal with those landlords.
Yeah, for now, this is certainly a talker. You were mentioning to me off mic, Ashok, the web traffic that you've seen for your story is just astronomical.
It's disgusting. I will say it's absolutely disgusting to see so many folks into like these brands that Foxtrot and Dom's, they're relatively new. They're not the Jewels. They're not Dominic's. They're not Moo and Oink.
Right.
You know, they don't have that kind of resonation with, that history with the city. But folks are so like, oh, my routine is going to be like, when am I going to get my matcha latte? I don't know where I'm going to go. Maybe the Starbucks? I'm going to be really slumming it now. So it's just, you know, people are reacting.
Ashok Selvam is an editor at Eater Chicago. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Brenda Ruiz, and it was edited by Meha Ahmed. To stay up to date with the stories and news in Chicago, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and head over to WBEZ.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.